Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, July 2nd already. Wow, July 2nd, 2009. It is now 6:31 in the good old USA. 6:31 Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Sorry about that. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. Of course, email us anytime, comments at libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Now, folks, he takes a macroeconomic point of view. He is excellent. The newsletter is free. How he does that, I do not know. I don't ask. But I also subscribe to his paid newsletter where he goes into more detail. I mean, even further detail. And his newsletter, the free newsletter that you can get online, is very detailed in and of itself. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We also have a little map there if you want to. Very few people have done this so far, but you can indicate where you're listening from. And you don't have to put much in there, but just click on it. And, you know, we have people from Chile and Brazil and all this other stuff. And it's kind of neat. You see little people all over the map. So it's kind of neat. So if you would do that, it would just make me feel good. It means very, very little. But, I mean, it's just a neat thing to do. Well, good morning, everyone. last Sunday, we had a very engaging guest, Eddie V. Garcia. He's also a radio talk show host on a Nashville station. I think it's 1430 in Nashville, AM. And he wanted to debate the issue of English as the only language. And surprisingly, his concern was that we would get into a real screaming contest. Now, I was prepared not to do exactly that, and I assured him that this was not the type of show where we wanted to prove our guests wrong. Our guests are our guests, just as if they were guests in our house, and you don't invite someone over your house and then criticize the heck out of them. You know, you treat them with respect, and I told him that. I said, there's no fear. You should have no fear of that whatsoever. And it did work out so well. What was particularly interesting was the fact that we agreed, or at least I agreed with him. Well, I guess we were in agreement, but for different reasons. And that worked out so well. In fact, he told me he's received dozens of emails on his blog, several calls regarding the interview. He thought it was terrific, and he'd love to come back, and we'd love to have him back. Now, there's an example of how you can discuss an issue without going for the jugular. And that's the problem. When Republicans and Democrats get together, you know, well, Cheney said this, well, and Johnson did that, and Kennedy did, you know. It's such garbage. We have to find out what the root cause is. And this is what I tried to do. In fact, I was very well prepared not to argue with him, but to find common ground. For example, If he was going to mention something along the lines of English as the only language from the federal level, I was going to say, okay, now that means does then am I to conclude that the sovereignty of the states and states' rights are being violated, and that's okay with you. I mean, just a question. And we never even got there, because actually we were in agreement, but unfortunately for different reasons. And I think at least I think he understood where I was coming from, and he truly enjoyed it. And let me tell you something, I enjoyed it. Now, I want to do a little bit of a sequel on this, and this is by far, not a rebuttal by any stretch of the imagination or saying stuff behind his back or anything like that. I just wanted to continue it because I thought it was a great subject where we argue these points. And you know, every once in a while, I get dumb. I get really, really, really dumb. I mean, I'm not too smart to start off with, but then I get really, really dumb, and I'll watch some TV because I get tired. I have nothing to do, and I'm on the floor. You know, my hip hurts from my bicycle accident, and I just lie there. I don't feel like doing anything, and I put the TV on, and I tell you, I find the whole thing incredibly depressing. and because what I read and study from some of the best minds in the world, not in the United States, in the world, and what I hear on television are such a departure. They're so different that you would think we were talking about different planets altogether. And it is absolutely amazing that we are subjected to such garbage. We have all of these, most of them are very, very attractive blonde woman, you know, some are brunettes, but most of them are blonde, you know, as broadcasters with beautiful legs. Not that I look, not that I've ever noticed, you know. And when people say something, they do not know how to respond. They either just let it go. And by the way, this goes for the men also. I mean, someone that ask a question, for example, they'll say, well, Senator, do you think this bill will go through? Well, we hope so. Well, thank you very much, Senator. Well, what kind of answer is that? I hope so. He wants to know, what's the probability of it going through? Is it 50%? Is it 20%? 10%? There's not a snowball chance in hell of it going through. You know, well, I hope so. Well, thank you, Senator. And this is the type of response that we receive, and this is the type of critical analysis we get from the stations. And it really, really bothers me. In fact, if we had an issue of English as the only language, on television, it would be a screaming match. There would be absolutely no critical thinking whatsoever, and any critical thinking would be shouted out. And that's what bothers me. Well, if you think, and people are concerned, and I can understand the concern, that if we had two languages, or three languages, or four languages, or whatever, that this would divide the United States. Quite on the contrary, please understand, folks, that when people come over here, it may seem to us to be an eternity until they learn the English language. But it is not. And the statistics show, by the third generation, 92%, over 92% of the immigrants speak English fluently or as their only language. Something like after 2 years, somewhere around 80% do. And what do? We focus on the 20%. Now, people reference the Canada, Quebec, and the rest of Canada, the other provinces, and say, see, they're divided. Well, you want to know something, folks? They are divided. They've always been divided, and language has very little to do with it. Because we don't have people in one state speaking Spanish and another state speaking English and another state speaking Vietnamese. No, we are all integrated. And the rules are the same in every state. The rules in Canada are different. If you go to Montreal, you must speak French. Everything must be in French. I mean, there are rules about the language in Canada. So you cannot use that as a comparison, because here what I'm suggesting is there should be no rules. Now, as a free people and a country which is originally destined to be a place of freedom of religion, from religion, and everything else, you know, of tyranny, of government intervention, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are true. I mean, it's set up as an originally a true libertarian country. You know, it makes no difference which language you speak. Now, it happens that 90-some-odd percent of the people speak English. Now, if you speak a foreign language here and you say, I'm not going to speak that, I'm not going to speak English, I'm going to hold on to my, you know, my my principles, and I'm not going to speak any English whatsoever, that's fine. But if you think you're going to get a job, you know, let's say in finance in New York, you know, and say, well, you know, I'll do business with you, but you better speak to me in Swahili. What's the probability of you, first of all, getting the job? And if you did get the job, which is very unlikely, you know, that you being successful. Well, it's none, zero, not even slim. It's zero, zero, and zero. You know, unless there were, there was a very, very large population of people who spoke that language, who were immigrants and came in, and they wanted to cater to them. But still, in order to get the job, you would have to speak English in the first place, so you'd have to be bilingual. Also, look at Europe. Now, I'm sure, I don't know if Europe has official languages like French. I'm sure French is the official language of France and whatever, and across the board. But in every single one of those countries, everyone speaks more than one language. Everyone. And it is not, and folks, listen to this, it is not uncommon for people to be trilingual, quadrilingual, and having, I don't know what the five linguals are, or sixth lingual, no, that wouldn't be it. But they would be, that would be silly, wouldn't it? But I know some people who are fluent in five languages. It just happens that in the United States, we are so accustomed of thinking that English is the universal language, which it is. It just happens to be the language of commerce, just like the dollar is the international currency, or world's reserve currency. English is like sort of the world's reserve language. Do you know in China, there are more people who speak English fluently than the entire population of the United States? Now, we couldn't say that here. We couldn't say that X number of people in the United States speak Chinese, except for a very, very, very small portion of those immigrants who recently came here, you know, or older immigrants who didn't speak the language, and be by 0.000001%. So we are accustomed to going overseas, and guess when we go overseas, what do we expect? We expect them, whoever them is, we expect them to speak English. Isn't that amazing? Now, when they come here, they damn well better speak English. They can get their butt out of here. You know, this is our attitude. Now, this was not the attitude of my guest last week. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not drawing comparisons. I'm just expounding on our conversation from last week. This is not a rebuttal or criticism whatsoever. Please understand that. But we expect everyone to speak English around the world. We go to China, we expect all the Chinese to speak English. And believe it or not, a good portion of them do, surprisingly. So we have to understand that even if we had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 languages, the United States would not come apart. It would only come apart if the government, by government mandate, and government mandates bifurcate the country. For example, gun control. That's an excellent example. Now, could you imagine the federal government telling the people in Texas? I lived in Texas. I loved it there. I mean, I love the attitude of Texans. And I like the attitude of, I mean, it's not as strong in Oklahoma, in my opinion, you know. But the attitude in Texas was, you know, Texas first, the United States second. And quite frankly, that's the way it was intended to be. The states were sovereign, not the federal government. The states trumped the federal government. That's the way it was set. We were set up, folks. And when you go, I remember back in 1960, it's so long ago. I think it was 1969 or something. I moved to Texas. I got transferred there by an oil company. And I came from New York. In New York, I never saw the New York flag. I couldn't tell you what the New York flag looked like. I think it was blue and it had some sort of emblem in the middle with a lot of stuff in it, you know, like a woman sitting down on a thing, a lot of fancy stuff in the mail. Had no idea what it looked like. I went to Texas, and everywhere, in the airport, on the highways, flew the Texas flag. I was enamored with that. I thought that was fantastic. I went for a loan at the bank, you know, for the house that we were going to buy. And the gal there who greeted us, there was a greeter in the bank, and she was dressed in a Texas flag. I said, I love this place. I mean, this is great. These people were Texans first, and I thought it was great. Now, you could imagine if the federal government, by mandate, I'm going to go back to the mandate and how it bifurcates America, I'm not lost yet, and says, all right, sorry, you Texans, you'll have to surrender your guns to the federal government. I hope everyone out there is laughing their heads off. Everyone. I mean, could you imagine the federal government telling Texans, surrender your guns to the federal government? I say that and I laugh. I go, it can't happen. Can't happen in a million years. Never happen. But and it wouldn't happen in Oklahoma. And I'll tell you this. If it did happen in Oklahoma, I would move to Texas. I really would sell the house. I would abandon my house. That's how strongly I feel. I would abandon my house if I couldn't sell it. And I probably couldn't because everybody else would be leaving. I would abandon my house and I would move to Texas. Because no one's going to strip me of my inalienable rights. And just like that's an inalienable right, I have the right to protect myself. Speaking any language that I want is my right. It is, you know, no one said in the statue, it didn't say, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, provided they speak English. I mean, we don't have anything like that. Or, you know, if you want to take the religious point of view, you know, provided that you're Christian. It doesn't say anything. It's devoid of everything. It talks about the rights, inalienable rights of the individual. And we can top that with the, not top that, the, actually that's the top, you know. Subordinate to that is the sovereignty of the state over the federal government. So I thought on Sunday night, we were going to talk about the federal government mandates, and I got thrown a curveball. We were talking about the states, the individual states, making English the official language. Now, quite frankly, folks, I think that would absolutely destroy any state that would do that. Because once a state dictated what language had to be spoken in all official transactions, that would be the death knell of any business coming in. You can forget about that. They'll say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that crap. You know, although we all speak English, you know, we're not going there. This state doesn't look like the state we want to do business in. I mean, that would really be an obstacle. I think that would be horrible. Now, he did bring up the point of us paying all this extra federal money for all these government programs and supplying translators for all these programs. And I agree. There should be no government programs. That's my point. And I think we understood that. And that's what worked out so well. You know, anything that we have, and when you think about it, we can extrapolate this to any subject whatsoever. Immigration. Why does the federal government tell the Texans who can come in and out of their state? Who the hell's the federal government to do that? Federal government has no right to do that. If Texas wanted to let all the Mexicans in, they can allow all the Mexicans to come in. I mean, it's the state. The state's rights. The state's sovereign. Now, the state can always turn around and say, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You know, we secede from the Union. Now, what are you going to do? Of course, you know, we go to war with them. You know what I mean? The federal government would go to war. You know, it's just remember, whenever there's a federal mandate on any subject whatsoever, you bifurcate, you separate the bifurcate the population. You have people fighting against people. And this is what the government wants. They want us fighting one against each other because they don't want us arguing with the federal government. And then the government will take the side of whoever's winning, and then everyone's happy, and then everyone's miserable. You know how that works. That whole, and we get nowhere. And we become a weaker nation with less liberty and less freedom. with our inalienable rights shredded once again. We have to understand that. We have to get out of this mentality that the federal government's there to do something. The federal government is only to uphold the rule of law. And if I wanted to speak, I'm Italian, I don't speak Italian, but if I wanted to speak Italian everywhere and any place, I can speak Italian everywhere and any place, it makes no difference. And if I go for a government program and the woman behind the desk speaks English and this is a government program, I go, hey, buongiorno, and she has no idea what I'm talking about. She has no idea what I'm talking about. Then I better, if I want some government programs, I better speak English. Very simple. I mean, we solved all the problems. We don't have to cater to anybody, but we shouldn't have the program in the first place. Any program in the first place. And I say any program. I can't tell you how many people that I know who work for the state or the federal government who criticize all the federal government programs except for theirs. Theirs is important. All right, I hope we understand that. You know, and then we talk about the sovereignty of the state. I want to extrapolate that out further. We talk about the federal government, right, violating the sovereignty of the state. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a leap here, and it's going to take a little thought. Right? The federal government decides, for some reason, that they... it would be to the federal government's advantage to invade another country or to occupy another country or to do something with another country militarily, open a base in another country, whatever it is, which we do all the time, right? What the federal government does, now listen carefully, the federal government does is it recruits soldiers from sovereign states that have no beef with that country, into the military, sends them overseas to fight for the federal government. I want you to think about that. Now that, we've never discussed that, but just think about that. What we are doing is we are taking an individual from a sovereign state and putting them overseas and intruding on the sovereignty of a foreign state for some sort of gain that has nothing to do with the state of the United States, that particular state. Now, just think of how illegal that should be. I mean, isn't that, it's wild, isn't it? When you really think about it, it gets really, really wild. So here we have a citizen of Texas, Montana, California, whatever the case may be. The federal government recruits that person from the sovereign states, puts them in a federal uniform, sends them overseas to invade a country and violate the sovereignty of another state. Now, how long do you think any nation in the world can continue to exist by violating its own sovereignty, its own constitution, and then the sovereignty of those around them? That's tyranny, folks. That's not the definition of tyranny, but boy, that's a great example of tyranny on both sides of the fence. But we never think of it that way. We think of ourselves as Americans. We're not Americans. We're Texans. We're Oklahomians. We're, you know, whatever the case may be. And it just happens that we belong to this confederation called the United States. And I only say that because the states are sovereign, not the federal government. And again, I go back to my original comment that I thought that our conversation was going to be centered around the federal government's mandate of English as the only language. But we concentrated on the state of Tennessee, which changed the complexion of a little bit. Because the state of Tennessee is sovereign, they can do whatever they want. They can say, you know, we're a sovereign state, we're going to speak Yiddish. You know, that's it. You don't speak Yiddish, pfft, out. You know, they can do that. I mean, that would be a stupid thing to do. I mean, any language whatsoever. I'm not picking on Yiddish, but, you know, Italian, Irish, whatever the case may be. But I want you to think about that. I want you to break through the barriers of that of the sameness of our thinking. The barriers that say, this is, since this, thus that. And none of that is true. We got to say, since this, but since this what? How do we define that? And I can never define it. When people say that, I say, first question I ask is, what do you mean by that? Yeah, when they ask me, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you mean by that? And then they can't explain it. They said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't. Could you explain it to me? And they can't, but they want an answer. You see what I mean? This is where we got to get to. This is how we understand how our freedom, how our rights, you know, how our freedom, our liberty is being violated. Only if we understand, we can think through the process. Now, this station is not a current event station. I mean, we don't talk about what happened yesterday, a plane crashed, or, you know, blah, blah, somebody killed in Iraq. We don't touch on those subjects. We talk about the principles behind all of that. Because I'd like for people to start thinking. Because I don't know how to think. It hurts for me to think. And when I do think and I realize, ha-ha, this is what the answer is. Ha-ha, this is how I got here. I want to share it with you. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And I'd like for you guys to come back to me and do the same thing. And of course, I never stop for station identification. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We're talking about the English as the official language, the sequel. And I just had some further thoughts. Of course, I was going to give you a telephone number, 646-652-4620. And our email address, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I would love to hear your comments. Could my listeners please send me, and I should be doing this in the middle of the program, not at the very end. But please send me an email with your questions on this subject. comments@libertytalkradio.com. And I'm so sloppy about not doing station identification. I got to get one of those timers with a light going on. Go beep, 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 beep. You know, station identification, dummy. You know, or else. Anyway, that's all I had to do today. Today's going to be, you know, it's only my half-hour program. This Sunday, we will have Dr. William Lenhardt. He's a PhD, and he's the founder of the Life Elder Care Foundation. Elder Care Life Foundation. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. Hold on a second. Beep, 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 beep. Elder Life Care. I knew I was wrong. Elder Life Care Foundation. And we're going to be talking about that and how people can retire with dignity without assistance from the United States. And this is an international effort. Should be fascinating. So join us on Sunday. Okay? All righty. Well, that's it for this evening, this morning. And I hope you join us on Sunday. And do send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.